Mr. Lee Hyder with us to talk more stuff on mistakes that clients make at times and how we let our emotions drive our actions. And in most cases, if we let our emotions drive our actions in investing, it's usually the exact wrong thing to do. Lee, what do you think about that?
You know, I think emotions are a wonderful thing in a relationship, but you need to keep them out of your portfolio for sure. I mean, it's common. I mean, you know, it's hard not to be emotional about, you know, your financial future. And I get it. And I empathize with our clients. And that's why we, like you, build our relationship on an educational platform so that they really understand that quite often investing is counterintuitive. The things that you think you should do, the things you think you should do that you believe are based on logic and reasoning really tend to be more emotional than anything else. So we got to do the best we can to keep our emotions away from our portfolio.
Well, absolutely. And that's why we study in behavioral finance. And it's amazing. Most of the data suggests that you're just too emotionally attached to your money to make prudent financial decisions. And I think that's one of the values that an advisor brings to the table is we can be very unemotional about things and in a down market rebalance, unemotionally rebalance to help you with your long-term portfolio and how you're going to get to retirement safely.
You know, one of the things that I notice from time to time is somebody will come in my office and, you know, they seem a little frustrated and a little, you know, upset for different reasons, you know, as a prospect, you know, I don't know them. And as they start sharing with me, you know, what's been happening historically over their investing career, you know, quite often they say to me, you know, it seems like no matter where I go, no matter what advisor I work with, I end up with the same problem. And at that point, I will, you know, respectfully say to them that, you know, maybe the only common denominator in what's going on in your life is really you. You know, we need to examine you, maybe not as much the portfolio or the advisor. So we've got to really do our best to get the client to understand that even though they may say to themselves and believe that they're not making an emotional decision, you know, 9 out of 10 times their emotion tends to be their guiding light, which we try to, you know, get them to, you know, stay away from as much as possible.
For sure, Lee. And let me ask you this, what your experience has been. I know both of us are, we try to educate our clients. We talk about the things that is speculating and gambling, that being stock picking, market timing, track record investing. But what I've found is those clients of mine that over their career have been much more involved. They're talking about going to cash, you know, they're on TV watching all these things. They want to stock pick. They want to get into silver or gold. I mean, whatever it is, the ones that are much more active have significantly less money than those clients of mine that really don't know what they're doing, but they haven't made any of those mistakes. And they've just left their 401k doing what it was doing. And time again, I find that those clients that are very active and are studying and doing all this stuff all the time have less money. And I find that to be very interesting, but it just goes to show you that not making mistakes is one of the biggest things out there.
You know, it's funny, but I sometimes will say that, you know, a bad portfolio left alone will maybe do better than a good portfolio in the hands of somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. And that really just goes to the point that you made, you know, that a lot of times these people that, you know, believe they know what they're doing, they're tinkering, they're reading, they're doing research. I mean, they're spending so much time trying to figure out the portfolio and instead of letting the portfolio, assuming it's a diversified, well-built portfolio, let it do its thing and not make these, you know, knee-jerk reactions along the way based upon what's happening today in the market or the world we live in.
Well, and those are the exact same people that can't sleep at night with their portfolio. And because of that tinkering, those are the way those issues come up. And those are the way that they make those big mistakes that they'll never recover from. Yeah. I deal with that a lot where they'll read one article or they'll watch something on TV. And I got a client that's coming to me and saying, I want all my money in cash. And I'm like,
yeah, it's the same thing as, you know, when you get those emails and the first thing they say is, what do you think? And it then continues with, you know, I've been reading or a friend of mine says, And all of a sudden, you know, you're going down that slippery slope. So you've got to kind of go back to, I hate to say it, elementary school of investing and get them to really go back to, you know, why they made the decision to invest with you in the first place, you know, what their expectations are, and, you know, help them to really, you know, get in tune with, you know, their philosophy. And doing the things that they are doing, which are clearly dysfunctional, are really not what their philosophy is built on. So we've just got to get them to embrace some very fundamental things about investing.
Attention aviators, when you've spent years in the cockpit managing the complexities of flight, isn't it time you navigated your retirement with the same precision? Introducing RetirePilots.com. Right at your touchdown zone on our homepage, there's a beacon flashing, Get My Free Toolkit. Click that and you'll be cleared for a direct route to Ryan's Retirement Toolkit, tailor-made for pilots like you. Inside, you'll find two of his important works, The Pilot's Advisor and Pilots Retire Early. Between these two books, you can decipher the 9 critical decisions when retiring before 65 and discover the 7 lessons to help pilots land safely in retirement. But that's not all. This toolkit is packed with altitude high value, including extras to get your retirement plans off the runway and light the afterburners on your 401k. Vector on over to retirepilots.com to grab your toolkit and let's embark on this journey together.
What would your advice be? Because unfortunately, all my clients that are pilots, they're in the cockpit. They're going to talk about family, where they came from, what they flew before the airline, were they in the service? And ultimately, especially on a longer flight, finances are going to come up.
Sure.
So and you talked about how you deal with some of your clients talking to their smart friend. Well, guess what? Every pilot out there is the most intelligent guy in the world. And so on a daily basis, or, you know, at least while they're at work, these clients are interacting with other pilots that have some miraculous biotech stock that they got or whatever it might be, and having those conversations that's in my mind, further poisoning that long-term approach of being unemotional and letting your plan work for you.
Sure. I mean, you know, anybody can get lucky at any one time. You know, what we're trying to do is we're not trying to pick the winners. We're not trying to get lucky. You know, I know the way you build your portfolios and the way we build our portfolios start fundamentally on academic research. And our research is not trendy. And what I mean by it's not trendy, our research isn't over the last 90 days or the last 18 months. I mean, the research that goes into the portfolios that we design, build, and manage, you know, have got 20 years of academic research behind them. And sadly, when these people make these knee-jerk decisions, I mean, barely is the ink dry on the paper, or barely have they deleted that email or newsletter they read, and they're ready to make a monumental, dangerous shift in their portfolio.
Yeah, it's really hard to see. And I've even had clients that, you know, went through my whole presentation and they were so impressed and excited, ready to go. And then it's like a month later, they're ready to go in a different direction. And I'm like, what just happened? You know,
What happened was they saw the next shiny object and they got distracted. And it's our job, and I know you do a great deal of it. It's our job to, you know, keep them focused and really understanding, you know, there's not a lot that they need to focus on, you know, but quite often, you know, they're focusing on the wrong things. So our job is to really get rid of the clutter, get them to understand what's important in the day-to-day aspect of managing a portfolio. What things do you hear on TV or read or just hear about in general that really need to be filtered out of your thought process?
Yeah, I find it hard for me because I truly, truly care about all my clients. And when I'm watching somebody that's going to leave or go down a path, it's really hard for me to watch because I know that they're going to hurt themselves. And I look at it, and we've talked about this many times, is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. But it's a hard pill to swallow.
No, it's tough. I mean, look, you've been in a business a long time. I've been in a business for a long time. I mean, it is a challenge. You know, but all you can do is, you know, educate your clients along the way, love them, continue to reach out to them and just, you know, try to peel the onion. Like when somebody leaves, you know, I always try to reach out and say, you know, where did we fail you? Because ultimately, you know, I take responsibility. When somebody leaves, somewhere along the line, I did not communicate something that was really important and they just missed it. And now somebody else kind of created a vacuum of information and kind of, I hate to say, snuck in there, you know, hypnotized the client that what they can do is ultimately better than what we have done historically for, you know, years and years. You know, so I always use these as a learning opportunity. And quite often when I, you know, get a client to be totally honest with me, they can't really articulate why they're leaving in an intellectual fashion. And it tends to kind of be more emotion. And, you know, we just try to get that off the table again and just go back to the math.
Yeah, absolutely. And in most cases, that emotional decision is normally going to lead you down a path that's probably not going to be beneficial for you.
Yeah. I mean, clients do a lot of dangerous things. I had a client that did not take my advice, and he took money out of his IRA to basically buy a house. And, you know, you can take money out of an IRA, and if you put it back in within 60 days, you know, that's basically a 60-day rollover, and there's no tax and no penalty, you know, but he was doing it against my judgment. And I actually, you know, had him sign a letter that I'm not advising this, because he was using it to buy a house in the time when mortgages were taking forever. And I just said, if you don't get that money back in that account in 60 days, I said, you're going to have a problem. And, you know, thank God I have a letter, because he had a monumental problem and he couldn't get the mortgage placed. He couldn't get the money back into the, you know, the IRA quick enough. And, you know, like I said, you can put things in writing that are in black and white, that it's not in your best interest to do this. And clients still make very foolish decisions along the way.
All the time. I just had a recent experience with that, and just not understanding the consequences if you can't get it back in 60 days. And unfortunately, I think we've both watched that play out where, hey, this is what we're going to, my plan, and that plan doesn't come to fruition because of so many other variables that are out there. And that's why I try to tell my clients all the time, whether it's their 401k, whether it's their Roth IRA, their IRA, these are retirement accounts. You have earmarked that money for retirement. Right. You knew when you put that money into that account that you couldn't touch it to your 59 and a half, you know, outside of certain circumstances. Sure. And that's what that money's for. And so it's a lot of case of robbing Peter to pay Paul. So I try to advise my clients to not do that, find other resources for whatever might be happening in day-to-day life. And that's why it's so important for people to also understand to invest outside of their 401k or IRA to have liquid security for when life does happen.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I try to get, you know, new clients to really remember, you know, when they come into my office and maybe they have a $300,000 or $400,000 or $500,000 401k or IRA, you know, I really want them to just remember and embrace the fact that they didn't earn that, you know, in 60 or 90 days. It took maybe 20 or 30 years to accumulate that. So it's really unrealistic just because they put those dollars into a new portfolio that in 60 or 90 days, if the market happens to be going through a lot of turmoil and volatility, that all of a sudden, you know, it's broken. It needs to be fixed. You know, why did I do this? You know, so it takes time, takes patience. It takes confidence in making good long-term financial decisions and not knocking the train off the track before you get to the station.
Absolutely. Lee, I just wanted to thank you for all your time today, all your insights, talking about a lot of these issues that we deal with clients, mistakes that clients make, how emotions drive our actions. I think your insight is very valuable for all our listeners, and happy 2024, my friend.
Absolutely. Looking for a great year for myself, for you, and both of our clients. Stay well, my friend.
Take care.